Good morning, my friends, and a blessed Resurrection Day to you. Happy Easter to you, dear friend, in the Lord Jesus Christ, and to all who are listening today and who will receive the Word of God this blessed day. My friends, it is our great joy to rejoice in the Lord Christ. He is alive from the dead, and by His marvelous grace, the promise of God in the new covenant, He makes His people holy. Praise the Lord. So that all who have truly believed in Him and repented are made holy by the great and living God, blameless and acceptable in Christ Jesus, all through the precious suffering work, His dying, His burial, His resurrection and ascension for the salvation of the people of God. We give Him praise and glory, and we are blessed, we who have been saved by His grace, to rejoice today because joy fills our hearts, has come to us. We rejoice by virtue of repentance in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have repented. We have been cleansed of our sin, and so we rejoice in Christ this blessed day. My friends, I encourage each one of you who are listening today to carefully examine your heart in light of these truths. And as you look into your heart, into your soul, by the candle, the light of the Lord, and if perhaps you see there that indeed you are not holy, that you are living in unrepentance, living in sin, then you must know this day, the day in which we celebrate the resurrection of the Lord, that the Easter message is a call to true repentance and holiness. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. And all who are saved in the new covenant are transformed by the marvelous grace of God and are truly repentant. And so if you see that you are living in unrepentance, take heed, and this loving caution this day of celebration in the church, and that is that you must repent from all sin. You must be made holy. You must be born again to see the kingdom of heaven. Praise God. My friends, our contact number is 0782-652-143, and you can learn more about our ministry. We call it Mission East Africa Uganda at www.missionafricajk.net. That's www.missionafricajk.net. Praise the Lord. My friends, please turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 13, and we'll soon read today's text, this blessed Resurrection Sunday. Father, we thank You for the glorious truth that New Covenant grace is a transforming grace, that those who have impacted by it, those who have been impacted by it, cannot remain the same, must be transformed, must be made holy, must be truly repented, and therefore truly joyful as we consider the resurrection today, as we rejoice in Christ alive from the dead. God, thank You for such transforming grace that You have promised to those who come to Christ and who truly believe in Him, who repent of all sins. And so, God, bring Your powerful Word to us once again. Spirit of God, attend to the Word of God as You convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment, as You bless and encourage, as You fill the hearts of Your truly repentant people with joy, as You bring the precious Word of life to all who are listening, achieve Your glorious purposes and save Your people from their sins. And so, God, we pray that Your Spirit will present Christ crucified and risen in the power of God to us today, and that we may glorify Him by Your Spirit and enjoy Him this wonderful day You've given us. It's in Jesus' name, amen and amen. And so, my friends, hear the word of the Lord in 2 Corinthians 13, beginning in verse 4. For though He was crucified in weakness, yet He lives by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. And verse 5, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified. Amen. May the Lord add his blessings to his word. And so, my friends, we who have repented of our sins are qualified to partake today in the joy of the Lord. Simply, the joy of Christ comes through repentance. The repentant heart rejoices in Christ crucified and risen. And as we begin today, we see that our Lord Jesus Christ was crucified in weakness. That is, in the weakness of human flesh, in the weakness of a human nature. He was crucified and died. He is the true man, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is fully and equally, truly the Son of God, one with the Father. And though in his human nature he was crucified and he died, yet he lives by the power of God in the glorious resurrection. He is alive, body and soul. He is resurrected from the dead. And Paul mentions in this verse that he, with believers in Christ, we who are humans by nature, yet believers in God, partakers of the divine nature, are also weak in him by virtue of our human nature. But we shall live with him also because he lives by the power of God. And Paul mentions here the power of God that he has in Christ as an apostle, an authority, a responsibility to the Corinthians, and that he will exercise, does exercise the power of God towards them. Now, this admonition or warning is given, and we see it clearly there in verse 5, which I read for you, that he calls them to take a clear look at themselves, to test themselves, to really see if Christ is in them. And the admonition includes the idea that they may test themselves and find that indeed they are not qualified. That is, that Christ does not live them, all because of the pattern of their lives. Many of the Corinthians were yet living in obvious outward sin. And we find in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 some of the sins that the Corinthian church tolerated in its members. We find there that in verse 20, Paul mentions their contentions, their jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, backbitings, whisperings, conceits, and tumults. And he mentions to them that he will come to them by the power of God towards them in his position of apostolic authority, and he will speak to them, and yet he is saddened by the thought that he will come and find them to be unrepentant, that they have not turned away from uncleanness, fornication, and lewdness, which they have practiced. That's in verse 21. And so the Corinthians were tolerating these sins in their body. They were not humbly governing the body in holiness, insisting upon spiritual holiness, but they were tolerant, and their tolerance was because of pride, and so they allowed these sins and the sin of uncleanness, fornication, and lewdness. There that we find again in verse 21. And so these are the sins that they tolerated. Uncleanness simply means moral impurity or filthiness. Fornication is sexual immorality, sinful sex between people who are not truly legally married. Lewdness is simply a word for wickedness, but it also carries the connotation of a vicious ignorance that excites one to wickedness. And so notice there that he says they practiced these things. These were not occasional sins, but they were people in the church practicing these sins. And so in 2 Corinthians 13, we see Paul's clear call to repentance and to holy living. Praise the Lord. All of this in light of the power of God that is seen in the resurrection of Christ. Luke 24, 5, 6, and 7 tell us that women went to the tomb the third day after his death and burial. Beginning in verse 5, then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again.'" The women are afraid and bow their faces at the appearance of two men, angels, who stood by them in shining garments. And so the angel declares to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Praise God." And they mention that he must die at the hands of sinful men, be crucified, but on the third day rise up from the dead by the power of God. And so in light of the power of the resurrection of Christ, Paul calls the Corinthians to true holiness and true repentance, and therefore to true rejoicing in Christ, in the resurrection of Christ. Praise the Lord. My friends, I conduct an itinerant ministry. I visit churches usually almost every Sunday. This is my work, the work God has given me to do. And as I visit churches and preach, I find it very common that these very sins are tolerated in Uganda's churches. The sins of uncleanness, moral impurity, fornication, and lewdness or wickedness in various forms. And so my ministry leads me to come and be in intimate contact with the church. And as I find that many churches allow these sins and do not rebuke these sins, I encourage them to do so. And the simple reason for that is so that the church may be truly repentant, therefore truly holy, and therefore truly joyful in the Lord, because true spiritual joy comes by the power of God through true repentance. And we must see the condition of the Corinthians in this chapter, 2 Corinthians 13, this blessed resurrection day, in the light of Christ's power. Praise the Lord. And we see here that the powerful Lord Christ has such power over his people that he transforms them by his marvelous grace. Paul, the apostle of God to the Gentiles, to the Corinthians, must now remind them and encourage them to true holiness. And that's my intention today also, to remind you this blessed resurrection day and to encourage you to true holiness. Praise God. And so let us quickly take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Paul mentions that this will be the third time that he visits this church. He was the father of this church. He came and preached the gospel to the Corinthians. The church was planted. And he encourages them that as he had told them before, though he was not present with them, he wrote this letter to them, that those who had sinned before must repent, that he would come to them in apostolic authority and bring rebuke, bring reproof to them, and that he in this apostolic office would therein show a proof of Christ speaking in him, the power of God that was in Christ in him, and he would use this necessary authority to bring the word of rebuke and to bring the word of repentance to these people who were tolerating the sins that I had mentioned before. And he notes here that though they scorned him in some measure, and though they said they needed evidence of Christ's power in him because they considered him to be very weak in many ways, he declares to them that as a man, he indeed is weak in Christ, but he shall come to them in the power of God, and they shall indeed see the power of God as he exercises his apostolic ministry and authority toward them. And he calls them in verse 5, in light of their obvious practices, their obvious sinful practices that were seen by all, to take a close look at themselves, to indeed test themselves, to see indeed if they were saved people, if the powerful Christ was in them. Their lives were presenting sin, but Paul calls them, test themselves, see indeed if Christ is in you. If indeed he is in you, then your lives must present the qualification of being saved, and that is you will turn from sin. Your life will evidence holiness and true repentance from the sins of uncleanness, fornication, lewdness, and others. And so he reminds them that he indeed has been sent by God in holiness, and that they must remember that he is qualified. Christ powerfully is in him, speaking through him, moving them to true repentance. Now in verse 7, he encourages them in a series of admonitions and instructions to repentance. He says, I pray to God that you do no evil. Notice that the man who loves them is praying for them. And he says that he prays that they will not commit wickedness. They will turn fully from these sins and do what is honorable, even though they may disesteem him. He says in verse 8, we can do nothing against the truth, praise God, but for the truth. And he says in verse 9 that he is glad, though he is weak, they appear to be strong. And he prays again that they will be so repentant, so true to Christ, so true to the power of God because of the resurrection of Christ from the dead, that they may be made complete. It is his prayer for them. In other words, that they will turn from these sins that fragment them. They will be in their hearts complete and holy to Christ, and their lives may be presented not in duplicity but in godly simplicity as complete in the Lord Jesus Christ. Their lives evidencing a clear witness that they are truly Christ. He is alive in them in power. That they are qualified, that they have truly repented. And he mentions in verse 10 that he is writing these things to them for the purpose that they may repent, and that he may not have to be sharp with them or prod them to repentance, pierce them to repentance, if you will, because God has given them authority for their edification and not for their destruction. But he is prepared to pierce them if necessary, to bring pain upon them, yes, to lead them to repentance through these means if necessary. In his final commendations and instructions to the church, beginning in verse 11, he says, finally, brothers, farewell. He wishes them good. Become complete. Turn from their fragmentation. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. The repentant enjoy these blessings. Praise God. Good comfort. Enjoying the mind of Christ. Being of one mind with him. Living in peace. The God of love and peace blessing them with his holy presence because they have turned from sin. He calls them to greet one another not with lewdness but with a holy kiss, knowing that all the saints greet them. Praise God. And he calls them to enjoy the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion or fellowship of the Holy Spirit, that such blessings and fellowship be with them all Amen. Praise God. And so we see Paul's clear love for the apostles, and in light of the power of the gospel, his call to them to turn to Christ. Amen. And I want to encourage you this morning, my friends, you who, like me, also struggle with sin, you who, like me, and who, like the Corinthian Christians, and who, like the Apostle Paul himself, fought a good fight but yet struggle with sin, I want to encourage you that God's promised grace has transformed you and will continue to transform you. And I want to encourage those of you that are rebuked by the words of Paul, given by the Spirit of God, who profess to be Christians, who perhaps are disqualified, that is, really are not saved, Christ is not in you, who are not repentant, and to those of you who are professing Christians who really are qualified, Christ is in you, but you are practicing the sins that are condemned there in 2 Corinthians 3. I want to encourage all of you to godly repentance because of the powerful grace of God that comes to those who are truly repentant through the new covenant promises. And that is because Jesus was crucified, yet powerfully life has conquered death. Mercy exceeds judgment. Christ is risen and alive from the dead. Amen. Our hearts rejoice this day, the truly regenerated of God, the children of God, because Christ is risen from the dead. And the new covenant promise is that God's grace makes us holy and transforms us. So quickly this morning, turn to Jeremiah chapter 31, beginning in verse 31. And we see here through verse 36, the promise of God in the new covenant. And as I read these verses, I want you to simply note this morning the glorious power of God that comes into the church because of the resurrection of Christ, that transforms us because of God's promise in the new covenant that his grace will make us holy. Praise God. We become holy in new covenant grace because God promises to make us holy. We do not become holy through our own work, our own merit, our own efforts. We become holy primarily through the work and promise of the Spirit of God in our hearts. Now that leads us to understand that if we are not living in holiness, there are really only two possible explanations for this. And the first is, as we saw in 2 Corinthians 13, that we are not truly saved. Those who are truly saved in the new covenant grace are those who are made holy by God, by definition, as we're going to see. Secondly, it's possible that we indeed are regenerated, we are saved in God's grace, and yet we have lapsed into sin. But the wonderful encouragement for us, if that is true of you today, is that you cannot continue in your lapse in sin. You must repent because you are truly regenerated and God has promised to make you holy. And so if this second condition is yours today, you are truly saved by God's grace, but you have allowed yourself to turn back to sin and you are practicing sin, then you must know today that God promises that because you are truly saved, that he will make you holy, and God is working through his word this morning to make you holy and to lead you to repentance. His call to you this day is repent of your sins by virtue of the power of the resurrected Christ and be received by the Lord. Now, in both conditions, we have the clear warning of God. If you profess to be a Christian today and you have turned from sin, your life evidences God's grace, that is wonderful. But his warning to you, you must continue in grace. Do not allow yourself to lapse into sin. And secondly, if you're in the condition today that you are saved, but you have lapsed into sin, then you must know that the unrepentant will not see God. And so his word to you, his admonition is, repent of your sins and evidence the power of Christ in your lives. And so again, for both conditions of people today, we must take the warnings of God seriously. There must be an evidenced true repentance of sin for our own assurance and enjoyment of salvation, our own enjoyment of Christ, you see. Simply put, the unrepentant are lost. Those who are truly repentant are saved by the power of God because he has promised to make them holy. Amen. And so hear the word of the Lord in Jeremiah 31, in verse 31, please. I'm sorry, I want to share with you verses 31 through 34 this morning. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Praise God. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and their sin I will remember no more. Praise God. And so here Jeremiah, an Old Testament prophet living in the Mosaic covenant, declares to us the glorious grace of the new covenant, which comes to us through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the blessing of the new covenant, as seen in juxtaposition to the old covenant, is that God's grace will be upon new covenant believers in such a way that he makes them holy, and they will be practically holy. He says there that God's new covenant will be such that he will put his law into their minds and write it on their hearts, not on tablets of stone, as in the Mosaic covenant. See the fullness of grace that has come to believers through the precious blood and resurrection of Jesus. And he says to the new covenant believer, I will be their God. They shall believe in him. He shall be their true God, and they shall be my people. Praise God. They shall know God intimately through this saving grace. The least of them to the greatest, all of them shall truly know God. And God's promise is that they will be made holy. Their iniquity shall be forgiven, and their sin will be remembered no more. Praise God. And so wonderfully, the good news for us this blessed resurrection day is that this transforming grace is promised to every true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is clearly a call to true repentance for everyone who takes the name of Christ, who professes to believe in Christ, because of the great powerful work of God. All who are truly his are forgiven of their iniquity, and their sin is remembered no more. And we must remember, too, that God's call to us to this forgiveness, to the fullness of such forgiveness, means that there is always a true turning or repentance from sins. The mind is changed in godly repentance. The mind is now filled with the law of God. The heart is changed. The heart no longer holds to lies, but the very truth, the law of God, the law of Christ, has been written on their hearts. They have become the blessed people of God who cannot live in sin by nature of new covenant grace. Praise the Lord. And so rejoice today, dear friend, that your name is written in the book of life, if you can look into your own heart and see this awesome work of God's grace, all through the love, the blood, the suffering, the death, the tears, the bloody sweat, the giving up of his own precious life, and the resurrection of the Savior of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. Rejoice this day because you are his, because you are saved by his grace. And to all who are listening today, hear the word of God. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, all crushed by your iniquity. Come unto me, all who are as an unclean thing, whose hearts are deceitfully wicked above measure, all who are practicing lawlessness. Repent, and the new covenant grace of the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ, his presence with you through life, through death, and forever in the very presence of God is promised unto you. And to all who hear today, hear simply the word of the Lord. Come to me in true repentance, true faith, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people. I will write my law in your hearts and minds, and we shall worship him. Our iniquity is forgiven. And so believe in him this day, dear friend, true Christian, and you who are coming to Christ, you who are repenting of your sins, come and be blessed by God in the great salvation that God promises to those who believe and repent, and that God assures to those who truly believe and repent. If you have been practicing wickedness, repent. If your life is holy in true repentance, continue in the grace of God. Glorify your God forever, dear friend. Father, we thank you for this needed message, this Easter message, an encouragement to true repentance and holiness, because you are alive from the dead, Lord Jesus. And we worship you and we praise you because you are the author and finisher of the faith of your people. And you are the God who gives the gift of repentance to all who seek you for it. We thank you, Lord. How good it is to be yours. How good it is to worship you, Lord. And how good it is to walk with you in practical, real holiness. We worship you. Jesus, alive from the dead, we worship you, Father, God Almighty. We worship you, Spirit of Christ, the one who attends to us now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. And so, my friends, may the Lord bless you and keep you this day of his grace.